Sincere, the individuals in the churches in Samoa came up to me unprompted and told me, please tell your congregation how grateful we are that you were allowed to come and be with us. And please express to your family, thank you for allowing me to be away this long. And that's said to each one of you, and that's from the bottom of their hearts. And it's been such a wonderful experience for me. Until you experience something like that, it really doesn't have the impact that I can impart to you of how much it means to you to be able to teach the word to other people, and also for the benefit that I got from being an encouragement to them. What you're seeing here is the congregation at Alisa. I will go over in just a minute and tell you where that is. But this is a small country congregation up in the hills of the main island of Samoa, Upolu. And what a wonderful group of people. They're Christians like we are. They have the same kind of problems we have. They have the same joys that we have. And just a wonderful time with them. And I can say from my limited experience in three trips to the Pacific Islanders are wonderful people. And they are always open and welcoming to people that come to teach them. So I was out there from July 30th to August the 1st, and June 30th to August 1st, 3 weeks. And Robert had asked me about a year ago if I'd come out with him on this trip, but he said, I need you to be there for 3 weeks this time because we're going to be teaching some Pacific Islands Bible College courses. And I'll show you in just a moment how we taught those courses. But first of all, where is Samoa? Well, if you looked at the Pacific Ocean from a satellite view, you would see nothing but water. But there's a little dot out. A little dot out there. Sorry. That's Samoa. And it's not far from Fiji, as far goes on a jet aircraft. And when you look at Samoa itself, there's two main islands, Upolu and Savai'i. And we were in Apia, where we were staying, which is the capital of Samoa. Now, I'll just point out for a minute that American Samoa is one of these other little dots here. It's only about 90 miles away. But they're independent from the what used to be called Western Samoa. But the other place that we were in Samoa is up in the hills in this vicinity here, and that's where the small congregation of Alisa was. They just celebrated their 50th anniversary of independence this year. Their population is about 200,000. They had a census not too long ago, but many of their members or many of their population live in other places and come home occasionally. Their ethnicity, meaning how many different ethnic folks are there, are about 92% Samoan. So if you're not a Samoan, you're a minority. Religion is something else, 99.7% Christian. David, do you know what the American is now, U.S.? I know it's not nearly probably 50% anymore, but 99% Christian. Now that's the, you know, quote-unquote Christians. But everywhere you go in Samoa, there'll be a church, a number of churches, heavily influenced by the Methodists, the London Missionary Society, which was started back in the 1800s, and many other religions, including Catholics and the Latter-day Saints, now the Mormons, but a very religious people. And you see that in every part of their lives there. And their language is Samoan. So again, if you're not Samoan, you're a foreigner. What did it take to get there? Well, I left from Palm Beach. I left from Palm Beach, flew to Houston, flew to Los Angeles, flew to Fiji, and then wound up in Samoa. And that took about 28 hours total travel time. But the time in the air, the longest flight was about 10 and a half hours. It's about 8,600 miles to get there. That's per airline flights. It's across the equator, The equator runs right through here. It's across the international dateline. So as we're standing here tonight, it's 11 a.m. Monday morning in Samoa right now. And it was seven time zones different to get there. But once you got there, I got there at 5:30 in the morning on a Sunday. Had enough time to take a quick nap and then get up and go to services that morning. And that I can't say that it was the brightest morning I've had. This is the capital city, Apia. Apia is about as modern as you get in Samoa. This metropolitan area is probably about 1 square mile. So everything else is very rural in the islands of Samoa. They're very, very steeped in their culture. The Samoans have a very unique culture, and it was such a blessing being there with Robert to learn more about the culture of the Samoans and how that influences both the church and the individuals. But it's a beautiful island. It's tropical. Right now, it's their wintertime. Their wintertime is a lot like our wintertime. A little bit cooler, only they never get freezing. And it's also their dry season. However, it rained quite a bit while we were there this time. But they were happy to get the rain. One part of their culture is called the Ainga. Ainga is the family unit. And the family unit is so strong in Samoa, many Samoans think that you can never escape it, even when you leave the island. So they will have islanders that leave to go to the United States or New Zealand or other places, but almost always, Robert tells me, they will come back. And that's true, including in the church, as I'll mention in a moment. But this is one of the little villages that you go through, and there's numerous villages. That's a family unit where extended parts of the family all would live, including the basic chief, who's called a Matai, the children, the grandchildren, wives, and other cousins and relatives and things like that. And in Samoa, the Fale is the little building that you see, and there are hundreds of thousands of Fales all over Samoa. These are fairly nice ones. It's a fairly wealthy village, but many Fales are nothing but a thatched roof. If they're lucky, they have a concrete floor. Many times they're just a dirt floor and open all the way around. And that's what people live in Samoa. Yep. And that just happened to be a beautiful sunrise when I was that greeted me when I arrived actually in Fiji on my way to Samoa. But it's a beautiful part of the countryside. So there are three churches in Samoa that I'm aware of from Robert. One of the churches is in Savai'i, which is an island off to the west of Apia. And the other two are the churches that we worked with. Viamoso, which is about 100 members. And that church was planted by Robert back in the 80s. They do have a full-time preacher, Kosima. Kosima is not in these photographs, but I'll show him to you later. And then we worked in the little mountain area of Alisaz. It's about 50 members. There they do not have a full-time teaching or preaching staff. And as a matter of fact, Malo, who you see here, is one of the main teachers in that congregation. And that was established by the local members. There are no elders in the country of Samoa. And that was one of the topics that I taught on in one point where they'd asked me to talk about elders and church leadership. So here you see the two congregations out for the Pacific Island Bible College courses that we were teaching. Robert taught the Minor Prophets, and I taught the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians. And he would teach in one congregation for 7 weekdays, and then we flip-flopped, and I taught in that congregation. So while he was in one, I was in another. So I didn't spend any time with Robert during this period in teaching. And the same is true on Sundays. On the Sundays when Robert was in Alisa, I was in Viamosa, and I taught Bible study, preached, and then special lessons that we had up in the mountains. So in all, we each taught about 14 Palm Beach Island, or Palm Beach, Pacific Islands Bible College classes, including the teaching and the preaching. I have to give it to these congregational members. 3 weeks in a row, 5 days during the week, 2 hours a night, they were there every night. Every night. And they came through rain not much like this that you just experienced here. And they really sacrificed to be there. But their dedication and wanting and thirst for studying the Word of God is just amazing and encouraging to me. And what wonderful people. So Robert and I both had to teach with interpreters. Neither one of us talked Samoan or spoke Samoan, but Robert could get along pretty well. And so in one case, Kosima at the Viamoso congregation interpreted for us. In the other, we had Joe that was an interpreter and also two backups that helped us out. But let me take a minute and just say something about Robert. Most everyone here has met Robert before. You know the energy that man has. And I can tell you that the island people love Robert to death. And I'm not kidding if it's a cab driver or somebody you meet in the market or the lady behind the counter when you're buying something at the grocery store. Robert will make an instant connection with them by speaking in Samoan. And by the time that they leave, they're laughing at him and joking with him, and he's inviting them to services. So Robert just has a way out of his personality to instantly tear down any barriers that might be, including language and culture and everything else. And I witnessed that time and again. And I can't tell you how much the people really, really respect and love him. And throughout the country of Samoa, he's known in the major hotels because he stayed there before. They go out of their way to give him discounts and to take care of him while he's there. The airports, the customs people know him, not because he's done anything bad, but because he's always there. Many of the government officials know Robert, whether it's in Samoa or Fiji or other places. It's because in the work that he's been doing in the Pacific Islands years, he's had to establish those relationships to build church buildings or to get permits to do various things. And he is, to call him a worker for the Lord is just not descriptive enough. He's a one-man army out there. And it's been a great blessing to work with him. Our daily routine was like this. And believe me, by the end of the day, we were ready for bed. We'd get up about 7. Between 7 and 9, we'd get ready and have our breakfast. 9 to 12, we were either visiting with someone or we go to the market to get supplies or working with the local brethren. We take the afternoon lunch period. One of the members insisted on cooking for us just about every day. And she put on a nice meal for just Robert and I, to the point where we didn't even eat dinner that night. Then in the afternoon, we'd study. About 6 o'clock or 5:30, they'd pick each of us up to go to our respective places where we taught. And by about 9:30 or 10 o'clock, we were back in the hotel ready to crash. And it was during that last hour of the night that Robert and I had a lot of time to talk. And I really, really appreciate him and appreciate his way in conducting himself as a missionary. And it's a great tribute to the Lord and to the church, the way he does that. We spent time working with the local brethren, everything from fixing cement mixers to visiting people. And then I mentioned already that Sundays we'd go around and teach at either one of the congregations. This should play, but if it doesn't, can you click the little speaker? What you see on the right is Samoan songbook. And this is a song that you'll recognize in just a minute. And on the left is Tanifu. Tanifu is dressed in his Sunday morning garb, which includes what's called a lava-lava. That's the dress-like thing, only it's not a dress. It's really a wrap. And Tanifu spoke very little English, but he was so kind to me in that he would get the song and announce it all. And he'd look down over his glasses at me and say, 1, 2, 7. And we'd sing along with them. So that's not working. Okay. But I wanted you to be able to hear the Samoan language and when they're singing. And the building that we were in was probably about half the size of our lobby. And they were blowing the walls out of that. And that was probably not more than about 30 people in there. And of the 30 people, there may have been 15 adults. And those people sing from the bottom of their hearts. And wonderful sing, very encouraging. Well, I'm sorry, but it worked. The children. I'll show you more pictures of children. I took about 1,500 photographs while I was there. I'm not going to go through all of them tonight. But David did give me a note, and he said, take as long as you need. So anyway, I won't do that to you. But the children were wonderful. They're well-behaved children, all in all. And I can tell you, the Samoans do believe in corporal punishment. I never witnessed any of it, but Robert tells me that it's not uncommon. But anyway, these children were great. Anytime they saw my camera, they'd come out of the woodwork. I'd start with one and have 15 before it was over. And it doesn't matter where. But this is the leaders of the church up at Alisa. On the left, you see Tanifu. The gentleman horsing around next to him is Malo. A little bit of the language I learned. Malo means hello. Malo was pulling my leg when I first met him. I'd say, Malo. And he'd say, Malo. I'd say, Malo. Malo! But anyway, he's the man that does a lot of the teaching in Alisa. The man next to him is Joe. Joe Hansel, like Hansel and Gretel. The Germans first settled in Samoa back in the early mid-1800s. And there's been intermarriage, obviously, between a number of nationalities there. But Joe's lineage is true Samoan with one of his relatives who married a German. So you can see that in his outward look. And then the man on the right is Keeley. Keeley, I'd have the greatest respect for. He's such a wonderful Christian man, and I'll show you in just a minute where he lives and what he has to deal with. One of the trips that we made outside of the local church was to a little village up in the mountain area. The village is called Lolomunga, and Lolomunga literally means at the foot of the mountain. And you can see here the mountain that is referred to in that, and this is the little village. Well, back in the 70s, Robert had visited this village a number of times, evangelizing there, and converted this man, Sapati. Well, Sapati had a young daughter that had fallen on a stick, and this is in the 70s, and had a very bad infection from where she fell. And Robert insisted on taking the daughter to a clinic. Well, back in those days, this little concrete bridge was not across that water, and you had to wade across the water. So Robert carried the little girl to his car, and then they drove a number of miles to a government-run clinic. The clinic director didn't want to treat her, and she had gangrenous infection. It was that bad. So Robert, in his straightforward, direct way, convinced that man that he should do their treatment right away and not lose any time in it. Well, anyway, that ended up saving that young lady's life. She's now a mother and healthy and living in another part of Samoa. But Sapati had fallen away from the church, and Robert had not been able to reach him for many years. And in these islands, most people will have cell phones as their only means of communication. And Sapati did not have one. But anyway, after meeting with Sapati that day, Robert pleaded with him to come back. And when he did come back that Sunday, and the Alisa congregation, he came back on his knees begging for forgiveness, which I don't recall, except when I was a child, ever seeing someone on their knees in the church asking for forgiveness. So that's the kind of influence that Robert has on bringing the wayward back as well. And we hope and pray that he remains faithful. This is the classroom for the children in Vallehermoso. And you can notice that all the children are smiling and happy. But they sit on mats. They live on mats. So there's not any furniture in the classroom, nor are there very many materials. And I hope that maybe that's something we can do to help them, as we did the church in Tuvalu, with some materials that are laminated, because in the summer months, the monsoons are there, and books and printed matter deteriorate very rapidly. But that's something we could do for this congregation. But the teachers are very dedicated to teaching these children. And just a little footnote, this young lady, her name is Pollyanna. Pollyanna, whether it was Robert or I that were there, always came up and sat right next to us, to the point where she's almost sitting on us. And during the service that we were, when we were in the pews, she would look up at us and smile, and then look back down and every so often look at us and smile. But she was a very warm and caring young little girl. This is the church up in, the classroom up in Alisa in the mountains. And as you can see, it's open. And I mentioned Keeley a minute ago. Keeley has four children. I think I've got a picture of his four children in here. But Keeley, his four children, and his wife lost everything they owned in the tsunami that hit Samoa in 2009. There's a story that goes with that that is very, very telling about the providence of God and how God's providence acts many years in advance of something happening, to even to the event itself. And I'd love to tell you that story at another time. But these children are sitting on their teaching mat, and that's where the classroom happens, in the open. And I can tell you there's bugs, there's dogs, there's the cats, there's all kinds of wildlife, roosters and chickens and stuff like that running all around behind them. So it's very difficult for them to teach in an environment where they pay much attention. And one other thing that, if I didn't mention already, this is the area that Keeley and his family live in. And this is totally open on the sides. This is behind the church building. And this is temporary, where while they are getting together the resources to build their own folly on this property, but somewhere else. And they live up here during the week and then travel down the mountain to Alisai for the weekend at the church there. Again, this is the congregation up in Alisai. Wonderful people, all caring. And I can tell you that almost every one of the adults expressed what I told you earlier about, please, please tell them thank you for allowing you to come, and please tell your family thank you for letting you be here. Wonderful people. Every Sunday, the congregation in Vallehermoso would have a meal for the church. The people of Samoa generally are very poor, but you would never know it from seeing them or looking at them. They take care of themselves, they're clean, but they live off subsistence living. They grow most of their food. If they have jobs, they will spend a little bit of money on food, but they all have gardens somewhere. Taro is the staple that they eat. Taro is a very starchy root. I've got a photograph of it for you in a minute. And to eat taro is akin to eating flavored cardboard. But a family will eat a pile of taro about this big once a day. And that's their main food. And the Samoans generally are large people. They're large and strong people. But much of the largeness comes from the fact that they eat so much starch in their diet. But they would have this fia-fia every Sunday after services. And that's the meal that many of the Samoan people in the congregation there, the first meal that they would have in a week that's really of substance besides taro. And they did serve taro. But wonderful meal. And I want to just point out this young man here. That's Fono. Fono is one of Keeley's children. Fono is a very active young boy. He's about 4 years old. And Fono was very hungry that day. And rather waiting for the other children to say the prayer, he was sitting on the mat, bowed his head, and started singing a prayer so he could eat. So it was very cute to watch that. Children love to see their pictures. When I got out my little iPad to show them some of the pictures I had taken, they just swarmed me and literally climbed on top of me. But they also like to play the Angry Birds game. But it was fun dealing with all the little children. I miss them already. This is another Fia at the Alisa congregation. And this is in the home, which is nearby, of Malo, the gentleman that I mentioned earlier that does a lot of the teaching. This is his living room. You notice he does have windows, but there's no screen in them. And there's a few jalousies here and there. But that's typical in Samoa. They use the openness of the places where they live to keep cool in the summertime. And the meal was great. And this is taro, the root crop that I mentioned. And this is also taro of a different kind. But they eat a lot of rice products, a lot of fish. And I never went hungry while I was there. That's a fact. And that's some of the congregation together. And two of his nieces, which were very cute, and twins. And the one on the left, I think, is going to be a model because she was always posing for me. And that's Malo and his family. Now, one thing about Malo that I want to point out, this elderly man, he's probably 50, I guess, 55 maybe. Malo is a free diver by trade. He goes out and he'll spear fish by holding his breath and diving under the water. Well, during the off months, he's working up in the mountains helping build a house. Milo's wife left him about 15 years ago. He's never remarried, but every one of these children here are people that Milo have taken in to raise in his home. So he's a very giving and caring man, and I think representative of a lot of the people in the church there, that no matter what family you come from, they're going to take care of you. And there are many that aren't here tonight because of the rain. It rains regularly in the mountain areas of Samoa. And I'm showing you this little truck because Tinifu, the man that was leading the singing, and some of the other people in his family get to church either by walking about a mile and a half from the main road to where the church is, a mountain road too, or they ride in this open truck. Robert told me one night when he was up in Alisa, it just poured cats and dogs. It did not stop them from coming. They came in the truck, in the open, and they were all soaking wet, sitting in there listening to the lesson. That's the kind of dedication and care that these people have for learning God's word. While we were there, this is a baptism that occurred in the church down in the capital in Apia. And I put this picture in to note how intimate the baptisms are. The area that they're in right now is normally covered up by a board, which you can see off to the side. And then they insert the steps into the pool. But on top of the board is where the Lord's table sits. So when there's a baptism, they'll move it away, bring the board out, put the steps in, and they'll have the baptism. And everybody gathers around. And I'd like you to look at the look on the children's faces as they're watching this baptism. That day I was there, they had two baptisms. They had three more when Robert was there. And that's because of the teaching that this man and others in the congregation have been doing in the local congregation. So they are growing, and they are very active teachers. And I didn't point it out, but Kosima, who's the preacher there, was converted by Robert about 25 years ago. And Kosima was a Muslim at the time. And it's rare that you ever hear of a Muslim being converted away from being a Muslim. I'm bringing this out just to show you a little bit about their traditions there. This is Keeley's wife, Monica. She does a lot of things around the home to help make money for the family. She makes this Samoan cocoa. She also fries the taro into taro chips and sells those, and a number of other things that she does. But here she's roasting cocoa that came from a cocoa tree in the property there. So they grow their own cocoa. They roast it, and then they grind it in a pestle, mortar and pestle like that, pestle. And they sell it in little styrofoam cups like that. It's hard as a rock. But Samoan coffee is, or Samoan cocoa is not like our hot chocolate. But at every one of the fiafias that we had, they would serve it. And I wish I could bring some here tonight, but they sent back some for me to share with you at some point, and I'll do that. It's strong, and but it's got its own flavor, and I enjoyed it, but I'm not sure everybody would. But she was kind enough to give me some to bring back. This is the taro root that they eat, and this is one of the markets. Where we go to the grocery store to get our food, most of what they get is from a market, whether it be a farmer's type market or just a stand alongside the road. So that just tells you how little distribution there is inside the country of foodstuffs. Their biggest grocery store is probably the size of a CVS pharmacy here. So our last day in Samoa was a Saturday, a Friday. We're leaving Saturday morning. And it's been their tradition that they always hold a celebration while for the people that were there to help teach. And they did that for us in both congregations. So we had to do one starting at 3:30 in the morning or afternoon and the other at 6 in the evening to cover both of them. We were well fed by the end of the day. But such kindness. They brought out all the food. They presented gifts to Robert and I. Here they're giving Robert some of the straw goods that are made there and the lava lavas and the scarf that he has on. Here's another feast that they put on for us. This was at the church down in Apia. And again, they gave us all kinds of little gifts to bring home to remember them by. And the children, again, are so cute and wonderful to be around. So that was my trip in Samoa. After I left Samoa, I took a week of vacation to go to the islands of Tonga. And this just shows you a relative map of where they are. But Robert said, I want you, when you're in Tongatapu, which is the capital city, I was going to be there on a Sunday, said, please look up Alani Noni. I have not heard from him in years. There was a church there, and we don't know if they still exist. So I did that, and I was able to meet up with Alani. And it just so happens that the gentleman standing next to him is Peter Lee. Peter is the preacher in Fiji, where Dan and Judy just went. And he just happened to be there that day for the same reason, because they had not heard of that congregation in years. And a non-Christian friend of his paid for his trip to go there to check them out. So they have a brand new building that was helped funded by a church in New Zealand. However, there's only two adult males there. Alani is one of them. And he was expressing to me that he wants to leave the island for his family. These teenage children here are his kids. And to get a good education, they need to leave. But he says, I know the church will not remain if I leave. So that's his dedication to the church there and keeping it going. And lastly, going home. It took about the same amount of miles to get home, but a little bit longer time because of layovers, and I was glad to be back in my own bed. And there's beautiful things that you see while you're away that remind you of the beauty of our creation, God's creation. And this is one of them when I was able to catch this rainbow on the way up to the church in Alisa. And another one is I got to swim with some whales, and that was just a wonderful experience being that close to such a magnificent animal. But in the end, I thank you for the opportunity. I learned a tremendous amount when I was there about myself and about being able to teach and preach. Those brethren just soak up any bit of teaching that they can get. And they were so grateful, and I was really happy to be a part of that. And, oh, you got the song to work? Okay, listen here for just a moment, and you'll hear Samoans singing Wind Peace Like a River. Nope. I'll play it for you on my iPad sometime. But anyway, again, thank you all for your attention, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be with them, and especially being with Robert and getting to know him better each time.